Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of a future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's also about the gospel of the kingdom. Zechariah 2:5, but I declare as the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides, and I will be the glory in her midst. An encouraging word today. First of all, as we've been cataloging exhaustively, there is a massive awakening happening in the world right now. Now, awakening is always happening at the same time as apostasy. In other words, there's a great awakening at the same time there's a great falling away. I want to address today something that is a serious misunderstanding in the church that fractures the church and divides it. And quite candidly, it's a cop-out. And it's this. I don't want to be involved in something because it's political. The church in Matthew 28 is supposed to disciple the nations. Moral issues and how we steward what God has given us is not a political issue. It's a biblical one. I want to say that again. Moral issues and how we steward what God has given us is not a political issue. It's a biblical one. And the idea that somehow that worshiping at the Capitol and doing baptisms and a call for repentance is political, well, it just shows the state and the mindset that needs to be changed in the church. Without truth, the consent of the governed is a very horrible thing. And the only way the truth gets out there is if we share it on social media, platforms, radio shows, podcasts like this, or we go out into the streets and we evangelize and we bring people into the kingdom and teach them how to obey his commands, teach him the truth. If we're going to disciple a nation, there is no place on earth that God said, that's not mine, I'm giving that up to evil. There is no little sliver of the earth that the Lord said, I didn't die on the cross for that little sliver over there. In fact, Jesus Christ wants it all. The whole world redeemed, all of creation redeemed. And so the idea, again, that there is a part that Jesus just can't be a part of, well, not only is it dangerous, not only is it apathetic, not only is it a shield behind which people hide from the calling that God has placed on our life, the command, the duty God has placed on our life to go into the world and disciple the nations, but also it's leading many astray to a place where they're all about relationship, they're all about preaching the gospel and bringing people into the church, and those are all good things. But the world outside is never impacted by the power of his kingdom. The understanding of truth and its relevance is really at the heart of this. And I want to just break a couple of notions here very quickly. First of all legislation reflects morality. I've heard people before say, can't legislate morality. Well, that's a logical fallacy. It's a lie. Because all legislation reflects morality. The question is whose? And what biblical worldview does it reflect? Now, I understand what some of my brothers and sisters are saying when they say you can't legislate morality, when they're saying it in the sense of you can't force people to do something. But that's not the purpose of law. In fact, the scripture says it's supposed to be a mirror. It's supposed to be a standard. So the idea is that we should have legislation that reflects a biblical worldview. We should have morality enshrined in law. Because look what's happening when it's not, or when it's eroded. The second is that if we want to disciple nations, if we really want to see an impact in the world, then the idea that we can just sit back and hide behind a quote like, I don't want to be involved in anything political, really begs this question. If God is relevant today and he speaks today through his word, through testimonies, why are you saying that God can't speak into even the political realm? Ah, we caught you. It is political. No, I'm saying we should have to speak into every realm. So why are we afraid to speak into the political one? And then with the other hand or out of the other side of our mouth say, oh, politics is so bad. It's so corrupt. It's so bad. And yet we're the cause if we haven't discipled the nation. God wants it all. He wants all of arts and entertainment. He wants all media. He wants all of the family. He wants all of government. He wants all of the church. He wants all of the business realm. He wants it all. All of education. He wants it all. All of healthcare. He wants it all. Politics is just one part of it. And so the logical fallacy is trying to say that politics is the only part that we've ever been talking about when it's not. It's the entire world. And today, tonight, as you're praying with your family, ask, God, where do you see me in your kingdom? Where do you see us as a family in your kingdom? How do you see us ministering together in your kingdom? How do you see us discipling the nations? Let's see what he says. Because if we all ask that, and then we were obedient to it, this world would change overnight. And that brings us now to a fantastic couple of videos. The first has to do with good versus evil. Bill Gates, we talked about synthetic chicken on the last show. Yuck. Bill Gates has been buying up farmland. A lot of that you know. But what's happened afterwards, I think, is worthy at least of your attention and some discussion. Go ahead, cue the video.
Bill Gates is the largest private owner of farmlands throughout the United States. But if you try to Google it, if you try to look it up, all of these media, you know, websites and media outlets, they all downplay it so much. You know, it's crazy. Everyone cares about, you know, the earth and global warming and all this type of stuff. But how come y'all don't care about people? How come y'all don't care about saving the people who are living on the earth? Y'all just care about saving the earth. What about the people? Because the earth is passing away. The earth is dying. What about the people? Super, super interesting. So farmland is decreasing. Innovations in animal and crop genetics. As a result, even as the amount of land and labor used in farming declined, total farm output nearly tripled between 1948 and 2019. And they will continue to decline year after year. Because just think about it. You think young people want to be farmers? I've never met somebody, a young person under the age of 40, that told me personally that they were a farmer or had aspirations of being a farmer on a large, massive scale in order to feed a large population of people and keep us healthy with good whole foods. That's what I'm talking about. Young people don't want to be farmers. And what we just read is that technology is already replacing all of the farmers. So what happens, and this is completely hypothetical, but what happens when we don't have any more farmers?
What happens if we don't have any more farmland? And he's absolutely right. What about the people? Isn't that what we're supposed to be caring about? Well, as Christians, we are. And I will tell you, there's been an argument, at least that I've heard last decade or so, that the Jewish people have been somehow forgotten. Well, that's not really the case, actually. God is moving even among the Jewish people today. Hear this clip. It's a little long, but hear this testimony. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh boy, I was raised in a very Jewish family. I was raised Orthodox. So I got pulled into some Eastern cults. I got very involved in martial arts. Martial arts sometimes is just not a sport. It's a religion. And I had somewhat of a cult leader. and he started to teaching us about the Kundalini energy and sun postures and meditations, and I was kind of into it, but it was a little confusing. And we were thinking about where to go on our vacation, our honeymoon. And this cult leader, if you will, and he said, you need to go to Israel. This is hard for you to believe, but the next day I was on the train going to work, going to Manhattan, and I sat next to somebody who I never saw before, and they said, have you ever thought about going to Israel? We go to Israel, and I look over to the left, and I see this mount. It's very strange, but the mount was calling my name. I felt as if somebody had a rod, and they casted it off the top of that mount, and the hook went into my chest. And I get up to the mountain, and I got out of the car, and I ran to this covering, and there was a plaque, and it said, the Basilica to the Transfiguration. Huh. And I heard a voice, and the voice said, come away and pray with me. But I didn't know how to pray. So I emptied myself and closed my eyes, and I saw a vision. And I saw the eastern sky open up, and I saw somebody come out of that eastern sky. And it came down and descended, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes was white as light. And he pressed himself up against me. And the first thing he said is, I love you. And I remember crying for a really long time. My wife says maybe it was about 20 minutes. And I looked back and it wasn't tears of joy and it wasn't tears of pain. It was like a sanctification, it was like a cleansing. Like all the crap, all the Eastern thought, all the nonsense, all the religion just came out of me. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that God can enter your heart and live in your tabernacle. So I thought God was on the mountain. And I remember talking to God and saying, I'm so sorry, I have to leave, I don't want to leave. But I hope one day I can come back here. Two kids from the Bronx, punk kids from the Bronx, go to Israel on their honeymoon to party. And we come back, born again, saved, knowing Yeshua as our Messiah. And I gotta tell you, I was shocked because I was taught as a young man that Jesus had nothing to do with us. I thought he was the head of the Catholic Church, and Moses, if you will, is the head of the Jewish synagogue. But then I turned over this New Testament expecting to see something really Christian, something hardcore Gentile, and said, this is the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of Abraham. I'm like, what? I'm in shock. The son of David. I'm in shock. I'm reading this genealogy and it's purely a Jewish genealogy. I get into the other parts of the gospel and I see he's circumcised on the eighth day like me. His mother goes through purification rites, Tohar, like my mom. And the crazy thing is, I was secular, right? How did Jesus, the head of the church, bring me back to my Judaism? So if you believe in Yeshua, you don't become less Jewish, you kind of become more Jewish. I never look back. I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. I feel so free. I feel so alive more than I've ever felt. And you get to a place, man, when you meet Yeshua, where he becomes enough. And I'm here to tell you, if God isn't enough, nothing will be enough. You'll search and search and search the world over. You'll go from one high to the next. You'll go from one thing to the next. But when you meet him, all bets are off. It's done. The search is over.
The search is over and he is enough. Searching the world over for a pearl of great price, you and me, to pay that great price as the merchant. Pay that great price and buy us for eternity. What a beautiful, beautiful video. And I hope that encourages you today to take your testimony and take the word of God to those you know and those you don't know and bring them hope. That brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, coming to us from Technocracy News, the globalists. From contact tracing to carbon footprint tracking, WEF's carrot or stick approach to COVID and climate policy, Anyway, the bottom line here is this. The object here is clearly not to lower CO2 emissions. And by the way, when CO2 emissions actually increase, so does the amount of flora and fauna in the world, because guess what? Plants breathe. Okay, so that aside, the whole idea behind digital ID, CBDC, all of these things that they're putting forward is to in-place control mechanisms over the entire populace. This is communism. Okay? There is no question about it, where essentially none of us own anything, but the oligarchy owns everything, and we're supposed to be happy with that. And if we're not happy with that, they want to give us drugs, they want to give us video games, they want to give us movies and everything to distract us. So what's the antidote? Become self-sufficient at the local level. Press into the Lord. And never accept being a slave. That brings us to Twitter, open source intelligence, and China. Japan's Ministry of Defense has released data showing that air self-defense forces scrambled fighters 238 times in the first quarter of 2023, with 66% coming due to Chinese aircraft and 31% Russian. Well, that's interesting, because the data virtually matches the same quarter numbers from 2022, but the increase actually was in regards to the Russian Air Force. Now, obviously, the Russians are trying to do shows of force in the Pacific because of what's going on in Ukraine. But it really does seem that something else is afoot, which brings us next to AN Magazine. Taiwan on the brink. And we are just about out of ammunition. So again, Sam Faddis and these guys over at AN Magazine doing a fantastic job. But he literally puts in a gigantic list all of ammunition and just equipment that has been sent to Ukraine. And he also lists a quote. I want you to hear this. This comes from Commander General James Hecker, who leads the U.S. Air Forces in Africa. And here's what he said. If you look at the U.S. itself, and let's not talk about the munitions we recently have given away to Ukraine, but we're at roughly half the number of fighter squadrons that we were when we did Desert Storm. So we don't have nearly what we had at the start of the Cold War. Now you add that we're giving a lot of munitions away to Ukraine, which I think is exactly what we need to do. Now, this is his quote. But now we're getting dangerously low, and sometimes, in some cases, even too low. And we need to get industry on board to help us out so we can get this going. Here's the bottom line. I put a quote out here this earlier this week talking about the fact that we need to get bureaucrats out of the way of manufacturing here and retool the defense industry as far as ammunition is concerned. We need to immediately decentralize man-pad, anti-air, anti-ship, and anti-tank weapons out into the Pacific as fast as we possibly can, because deterrence works. And I'm going to get to an example of how deterrence has worked in the past. We don't need to be afraid of the Chinese, but the only language they really speak is strength. And it's almost as if this is intentional. Totally deplete our war stocks right prior to World War III. That brings us to the other part of Twitter here. The UK's Parliament's Intelligence and Security Committee has said that British academies have effectively been bought by China. Many of the universities are turning a blind eye to the risk of accepting Chinese funding, which often comes with strings attached, such as bribery offers to paint Beijing in a positive light. The report also found that for any educators who spoke critically of China, visas would be denied. The report said in part that China not only seeks to influence at the institutional level, but will also target individual academics who focus on China, seeking to ensure that they act in the CCP's best interests, either through professional inducements, if that doesn't work, by intimidation. This is just part of the Chinese elite capture mechanism, where they are trying to capture in the West our university system. And it's not just in Great Britain, but it is also here in the United States of America. Coming to us from Debka File, cracks in Russian-Iran pact. Moscow holds back Su-35 jets delivery to Tehran. I also saw another article on Telegram from Amir Safadi, who is saying that the Iranians are absolutely livid at the Russians for doing some of this. Bottom line is that Iran now is throwing out that they might recognize the territorial integrity of Ukraine and that the war needs to end now. So this is fascinating. This is, looks like a crack is happening now between Iran and Russia, which brings us also to the Kerch Bridge. All right. This is coming to us again from Twitter, but Tender. Burn marks under the bridge, pretty good indication that it was an explosion under the bridge. So in other words, it looks like it was naval drones that did this. The Kerch Bridge is the only real short way that connects the Crimean Peninsula to the Russian mainland. And this bridge now, because an entire span is down and another looks completely unusable, just escalating the tensions there, but more importantly, is cutting off a very major supply route into Crimea. I would, again, very objectively look for a massive offensive to take place in the Kherson region toward the Crimean Peninsula here in the next few days. Now, we have something being put out there by a lot of people that they're scared to take on a peer adversary like Russia. You know, what would happen if the United States took on Wagner? It would be peer-to-peer, and it would just, I don't know if it would go well for the United States. So the question is, could the U.S. beat Russian forces? Well, we already did in 2018. You heard that right. In 2018, in Syria, in a little-known battle where the United States directly fought Wagner and Syrian forces. And what I find fascinating about this is the United States didn't lose a man, but they devastated the Russian and Syrian forces, killing over 300 by one estimate and driving them out. Total combined arms. So this idea of fear, and I'm not saying to be irresponsible or cavalier, this idea of fearing a peer adversary, Russia is not a peer adversary. They never really have been. It has been a falsehood that has been put out there by their propaganda machine for the entire part of the Cold War and beyond. Their logistics is horrendous. They really don't have a combined arms ability. They try, but they don't. And this is just one example posted by Randy Mott, who, by the way, is a former infantry officer. And I want to just read this. This battle, I don't really want to promote a particular coffee brand, but they actually had this article on there, and it was actually very well done. But it was the Battle of Kasham. Go read this, take a look at it for yourselves. But we don't need to be afraid of Russia, and we do not need to be afraid of China, but we do need to be preparing. Which brings us to the next thing. Russia announced today that it will not renew the Black Sea grain deal. Everybody kind of saw this coming. Doesn't mean it won't happen in the future, because it appears that talks are still ongoing. Russia also, according to open source intelligence, flew a military aircraft directly over the Al-Tanf U.S. base in southern Syria in an intelligence gathering mission. That being combined with some very aggressive maneuvers around a Reaper drone recently. So tensions are escalating in Syria. Again, just one mishap away from the United States being dragged into a world war. That brings us to the National Front and to the United States. Millions of sensitive U.S. military emails were reportedly sent to Mali due to a typo. Check this out. So this is coming to us from The Verge. A Dutch entrepreneur says he's been trying to alert U.S. military officials to the leak for a decade. So basically, it's .mil, and they were accidentally typing in .ml, and it was going to Mali. Now, Mali looks like it's going to gain access to all these emails. Oh, and wait for it. Who is now friends with the Russians, and where did Lavrov just visit? Mali, of course. So it looks like they're going to give the Russians U.S. military emails, which are sensitive. Check that out on our Twitter feed. Now, more serious issues here on the national front, and this is going to dovetail into our guest coming on here very shortly. The Michigan Attorney General has brought felony charges against 16, quote, false electors in 2020 during the presidential election. Now, I want to back up for a second. The reason we had an electoral college was actually to be a check against democracy. You heard that right. You can go read the history about it, because we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. And in fact, that's guaranteed by the United States Constitution, a republican form of government. So electors have the right, according to the founding fathers, to be that check. Now, the Supreme Court has since ruled that that's actually not the case. So now we have some tension. But a felony? You can see what's happening here. They're trying to come after Christians and patriots and make them so afraid to stand up that they'll capitulate so these guys can try to take over control. That brings us to the Gateway Pundit. And this is kind of, for me, one of the more hilarious stories. GOP uniparty senators threaten to leave and become Democrats. They already are. It's like that guy holding a gun to his head saying, don't come any closer or I'll shoot. They're already Democrats. They've already undermined. At least they're being honest now. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney becomes a Democrat, he will never be reelected. So, okay, great, do it. Yeah, we might have to put up with it for a little bit, but actually that might even open the door for a recall. Wow. That also brings us to the Western Center. So Western Journal is fantastic. If you've never gone there, westernjournal.com. Former President Donald Trump revealed Tuesday that he is the target of a federal grand jury investigation focused on the events of January 6th. I'm going to freeze it right there because we're going to talk about it with our guest today. I just want to tell you that what it looks like they want to do is not only indict President Trump, but they want to arrest him and put him in prison and try to crush any patriot movement, any constitutional movement in this country. And I'm here to tell you that not only do they want to do that, but they want to try to demoralize everyone else that voted to put him in power. So it's not just about crushing President Trump. It's also about crushing the people that put him into the White House. Now, Rich Higgins actually wrote a paper about this called The Memorandum of the President of the United States. Rich Higgins was a strategic planner for the National Security Council, a friend. And Rich laid this out for President Trump. This is what they wanted to do. They not only wanted to crush President Trump, they wanted to demoralize patriots and Christians. So, we're not going to let them. I'm going to make sure to post those up on Twitter as well. But that is the briefing. And that also, for today, brings us to a place where we need to talk about what's going on regionally and how you can be a part of it. We have a video of the upcoming event in Olympia. Sean Foyt, 6 p.m., July 28th. He will be here in Washington State, but in the Capitol in Olympia. And we are uniting under the banner of Jesus Christ. Travis, go ahead and roll the video.
This is a call.
Blood of Jesus is announced. For the sins of the nation, for the darkness of the nation, for the way that our nation's turned its back on God.
To every denomination and every believer.
We bring lettuce worship to every single state capital across America.
gather together by the thousands to pray and worship.
Join with us as we journey to see the fires of revival burn in every single U.S. Capitol.
All God's people gathered together under one banner.
The banner of Jesus Christ. July 28th, 6 p.m. at the Capitol. Please join us and spread it as far and wide as you possibly can. In fact, take a moment right now, hit share, make a comment, hit like, but make sure you're getting this information out to everybody that you know to be there on July 28th at the Capitol in Olympia. We're going to be doing baptisms. We're going to be praying and ministering to people. It is going to be an absolutely incredible time. But it's up to you to make sure everybody knows about it. So please do your part and hit that share button right now. Also coming up, August 11th through the 13th, Chris Overstreet of Compassion to Action, one of the greatest evangelists here in the United States of America, is going to be here at On Fire Ministries, and we're going to be evangelizing the city of Spokane. In fact, if you're down in the Tri-Cities and you go to a fantastic church down there called Hungry Generation, love to have you up here helping out evangelize. You guys are awesome down there. We're going to be doing that across all of Spokane. So it's not just going to be in one place. We're going to be sending out evangelism teams, and then we're going to be bringing them back for a night of worship on the 12th, and then a morning service on Sunday morning. Also want to give a shout out to our folks in Yakima that I just spoke to this last week. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for having me down there in Yakima. And a real special shout out to Brian Jennings at Breakthrough Church. You guys are awesome, and keep up the great work down there. Another event coming up at the end of August, August 20th, at the Pavilion in downtown Spokane. Sean Foyt, Let Us Worship, coming to Spokane, Washington. Last year, I think we had about 6,000 people or so. Amazing night. People set free. People delivered. People were actually throwing their drugs and everything else up on the platform. We did have law enforcement ready to get all that stuff and secure it. But throwing drugs and everything up there on the platform, totally healed and set free. And some of them actually became part of ministry. Amazing, amazing time. So if you get the opportunity again, coming up, come to one of these events. July 28th at the Capitol with Sean Foyt, with Chris Overstreet and Compassion to Action, right here in Spokane, the 11th through the 13th. And then again, Sean Foyt coming August 20th, right here in downtown Spokane, 6 p.m. It's a Sunday. You all should be able to make it there. It's going to be a great night of worship. We will not let them make us afraid to gather together. And that is a fantastic segue to our guest today, David Sumrall. He's the founder of StopHate.com, and he is at the tip of the spear in the movement to secure justice for the unjustly imprisoned Christian patriots of January 6th. He's also the head of the board of the American Gulag Chronicles, and he has made multiple documentary films, including Writing History and Bloody Hill. David, it's great to have you back on again. How are you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm doing as good as I can, considering the circumstances, still trying to give thanks in all things. It's the hardest part sometimes, but we got to do it.
I have seen so much evidence come out. I know you have too, here in the last month, and yet nothing seems to be happening. Well, I know there's some Republicans that are really, their heart is in the right place. But something's got to give, because the next move for these guys is to throw Trump in jail with the J6ers. That's what they want to do. So what are you hearing, and what's kind of some of the new information that's been coming out? Catch us up.
Well, you know, I've testified in three of the different trials now, and we're seeing the same. You know, these juries are poisoned. The judges are biased. You know, they should not be held in D.C. We know these things. We're just seeing a travesty of misjustice. You know, the change of venue, the free speech. I mean, you can't even argue that you went to protest. That can't be part of your argument, because they want to interject the fact that you were there to overthrow their fragile democracy, which, like you said, is not. It's not that at all. So it's an amazing story. You know, just in the last few days, we've seen more evidence, of course, from the government's release. John Solomon's putting out a great video this evening that we've been, you know, anxious for him to put out. I can see these things in the database. I just can't publish them. So it's really handy to have these people that now have the ability to publish, because I can contact them and tell them, hey, you need to see this, you need to see that. And that's what you're going to see tonight if you check out Solomon's work. But, you know, it's more of the same. We know that there's a lot that happened that the media will never let out, the government will never let out. That's why it's so important that we as a people take that action to support these folks. I mean, the Bible's very clear about supporting the prisoner. We can do this together. And then when you find out just the travesty of how they're being treated, their families, and, you know, the social terrorism, it's a horrible situation. And, you know, they appreciate the letters and prayers as much or more than anything. A couple of bucks never hurt with commissary and legal fees, and they just need our help really bad.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about something that happened last week. So, you know, I was involved down in Nevada and then also in Oregon with a fact-finding mission on what was going on, what was really happening behind the scenes. Short form of the story is a whistleblower, Larry Wooten, came out, and essentially those folks were all acquitted and the case was dismissed with prejudice down in Nevada. Last week, the full report came out, 252 pages. I'm not going to say how we got it, but we got it. And clearly detailing, I mean, again, 252 pages, massive, rampant, intentional corruption and intentionally going against the laws of the United States. So in other words, it was an accident. They meant to go against the laws of the United States of America. And I have this sense that something similar very soon is going to happen with J6, because there's just this, we won't answer the question, were federal agents there and did they provoke anything? What is your take on that?
That's the big question, of course. And unfortunately, I'm still of the opinion that even if we show that there's federal involvement, it won't free our people immediately. We really need the public to understand that there was even more, and that involvement led to the deaths of innocent civilians. That's really more important than broken glass or pushing and shoving or spraying. And people need to understand the score. It was 4-0. The protesters didn't kill anybody. The police, literally, three of the people we can call, you know, manslaughter of some level. I'm not the judge. I can't decide. But three people died at the hands of the police, one from negligence that day, and then Officer Sicknick from negligence as well. People need to know the real stories behind that so they can be properly outraged and then understand the same thing that's happening to Trump now has been happening to these people for 2.5 years with very little support from the general public, because the media jumped out and said, oh, they hurt a policeman, they did all these things bad. And that was not true. So first of all, we shouldn't listen to the media anything. But when we see the video evidence and we hear these testimonies from these witnesses, when I sit in these trials and witness this firsthand, people need to be properly outraged, not to violence, just to a resolve, to a point to where they say enough is enough. We're not going to go past this line. It's up to us to do that. We just need to figure out what it looks like.
Well, I want to play a quick trailer. I think that some people still haven't watched some of the documentaries, but I think that the writing history video you've done is absolutely fantastic. Bloody Hill's great as well, but I want to go ahead and roll that right now, Travis.
When it comes to the Capitol, they're lying about everything.
Good morning, everybody. We are headed to downtown.
Capitol building to peace.
There is a sea of nothing but red, white, and blue.
The whole world is watching as America is being destroyed from within.
Oh, I recognize you from Portland. Hey, so you got that team, but...
If they certify a fraudulent election, that's a crime.
They pushed it! Millions of Americans.
They're killing people. Nobody knows it.
Every time I watch it, the hackles on the back of my neck just raise up. I mean, what if all of this is just a farce that they've been trying to put in the mainstream media? What if all of this narrative is intentional to try to destroy this country? And we're answering the question, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So how do we talk about this with people when it's something so serious? Hey, you know, writing letters to the J6 prisoners, that's great, but how do we actually transform this country?
I think we have to put it in terms that we can understand. And that takes us back to Jim Crow and civil rights issues and 3/5 of a citizen, you know, not having the ability to travel or to own a firearm or to vote or, you know, move freely. You can't have a bank account. You can't even have a job because of the social terrorism. So these are things that other communities have, you know, experienced for decades from the same Department of Justice, the same prosecutors that stack charges on people to get their pound of flesh. This is not a one-party issue. We really need help from the other side. We can't do this by ourselves. And it's part of that prison reform thing, the whole deal. So whenever you have judges that are this openly biased, they don't care what anybody hears about what they say about Trump caused this or that. They say it openly in court. You can't do that. That's two levels that we keep talking about of justice. But just this one-minute trailer tells a completely different story than anybody's seen on the media. You know, they're not going to show you any of these little clips on TV. And just watching that tells a completely different story from the day. So I believe, you know, video is one of the strongest tools. People will watch things as long as they're not too long and boring. This is a 37-minute documentary that just shows what happened. It doesn't protect anybody. It leaves more questions. It's a study film for people to go there on that day, experience what J6 was like, see it from different perspectives, and judge for themselves if what they believe the government is doing to these people is fair or justice, because it's not.
It really isn't. And I really appreciated the fact that Tucker Carlson actually called you on. Travis, go ahead and roll the video.
I have trouble believing that this could go on for over 2 years and none of the people that these defendants have voted for over the years stood up to defend them, with a few honorable exceptions. But, like, where are the Republicans in Congress? I think that every time I hear it.
Well, I think this is more proof of that uniparty we keep talking about. And Tim Rivers, that put this book together, saw this need and just said, you know, the public needs to have these stories. And unfortunately, we should never have a book like this in America. We should never have a gulag in America. But the awareness and the media curtain has been closed on this situation. These people, it's not just the guys. They're not just numbers. You know, the numbers have names, the names have stories, and the stories matter to God. I mean, these families, the children, and it's suffering. 2 years not seeing your kids, not having visitation, or church services. The reality of what's going on is what people really need to be properly outraged about.
I can't imagine a less fashionable cause for you to attach yourself to, and I mean that as a great compliment. I think it's brave and good for you. David, thank you for that.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
So that kind of brings up that, you know, what do we do next? You know, we've been getting the information out. We've been, you know, we've been very, very diligent about that. Many Americans, it's not just one radio show or one person. It's been a whole bunch of people that have been doing this. And yet, even with hours of video that you so diligently put out there, it seems like nothing's really moving. What next?
More of the same. Unfortunately, the appeals process is going to be huge for all these cases since it's so, you know, log jammed in the DC courts and you can't get a change of venue. You can't get due process. You can't get a speedy trial. So we're almost doomed in that situation. And finding lawyers has been difficult for these guys. They're alone. They're going it alone. And you know, we just need more of the exposure. I'm hopeful that all these charges against Trump will basically force him to help us more than he has, because they have this information. I've shared it with their teams personally. And I believe maybe J6 has been hijacked for the election too much, and that they're going to milk this information out slowly as we get closer to the election. Our J6ers can't afford that time, that luxury of waiting. They need it now. And maybe by Trump being in trouble, if he wants to keep himself out of jail, maybe we should talk and get some of this information out to the world.
Well, I certainly think that at some point they are going to reach out because this is now, this is an American issue. I mean, we're, you know, and again, you said it earlier, we're not wanting one party to be exalted. We want liberty to be put backwards, supposed to be. I mean, we have people that were going there intentionally, that had been suppressed in the media, that had been locked down for a year, that had undergone all kinds of trials with their family, watched loved ones die in the hospital without visiting them, and they want to go because there were clearly, without any question, issues with the election. They want to go and petition for a redress of grievances, peaceably assemble at their Capitol, and now they're going to jail for it. And by the way, the Michigan Attorney General wants to now press felony charges against electors for doing what the founding fathers at least originally said was the purpose, be a check against democracy, because we're a republic, like you said earlier. We see this stuff and people are saying, well, how can we possibly continue to function, right? I mean, there's an exasperation here for everyone that I think that Trump now is facing himself. I do. I think this is a window of opportunity, don't you?
I really do. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to decide where our dependence is. Is it on man or is it on God? You know, who's going to carry us through this? I mean, this is a step of faith for so many J6ers. And people don't realize, you know, what that really means until they're in that situation. When you, you know, put your honor and your fortune and your good name, that's what these people have done. They could bend the knee and go home and say Trump's a bad guy, you know, Biden won, all that stuff. Please go easy on me. And they could get lenience from this court, but they're not. Because they understand the importance, they understand the future, and that this being a part of history, it's something that we have to win this battle so we can put in the history books what happened so it won't happen again. And it's not what they say happened. The insurrection was from within. Those are the people that need to do 20 years. They're the ones that stopped the official proceeding, not us. So by law, by the very definition, they're the ones that need to go to jail for it, not us. So there's a lot of things that, you know, layers to this. And of course, we need hours and hours to go through it all. But just the people, the calls to action at stophate.com/J6 help so much. There's the letter writing, the prayer groups, the Sing for Freedom, contact your center, all kinds of things that you can do. There's the American Gulag Chronicles book that you can buy and support these guys. 100% of the proceeds go to them. And every little bit matters to these people. They feel it. They feel the lack of it. So anytime you're deprived and you get something, it seems like so much more. A little goes a long way for these people. And we just need people to adopt, you know, by state, adopt by whatever, you know, means it takes for you to decide and adopt these people and say, hey, I'm going to throw some money in your commissary every month until you're out of here, until this is over. And we get enough people doing that, you know, but it's just been hard. People have their own priorities. I understand that. They were given a false bill of goods in the beginning. Oh, we did bad things. A lot of people have never looked at it again. And sadly, that's the control and the power of the media and the government, the media curtain, as I call it. We have to find a way to keep that open so that people know what's going on. And like I said, hopefully this angle from Trump will help expose more of the truth around January 6th.
The deep state and those that hate this country, they want to lock up liberty. Literally, that is what we are fighting for right now. And I really appreciate everything that you've been doing in this vein. I want to take a little bit of a different tack. How can we pray for those guys? I know you've talked to a lot of them. I mean, how can we have effective prayer for these guys?
Well, you know, I think one of the things, of course, is the family unit. We have to support their spouses and their children. And then, of course, the prayer is the most important thing we can do. Of course, writing letters supports them. It gives them encouragement. But literally that communication to God telling, listen, that's what we do. I talked to a defendant this evening. He had a horrible day yesterday. And he told me, he said, they kind of throw a chair against the wall and make a hole kind of day. Stressed beyond belief, 2.5 years. And we've had a dozen people commit suicide over this. So he said, you know, I just went out to the field and I got on my knees and I told God, please, I just need something. I need something to start with, some starting point, something. And he prayed about it out in the field by himself in the night. Then he went to work today. He didn't work on J6, didn't think about it. He went and got in his truck this afternoon after work. My post was the first one that came up. It was a video of one of the J6ers that has a motion that he's filing that just set this guy on fire. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is how God works. We have to wait on him. But we can't wait while we do nothing. We have to be active. We have to support these guys and just surround them with our love. Seriously, to support their families through this, these guys are going to jail for years. They don't have an income. They're losing their homes, their cars, their lives. Mm-hmm. They need financial support. Unfortunately, that's the hardest thing to get out of people. And we really need it, you know, more than ever.
So we're gonna pray for that, and we're gonna just I'm want to do this right now. This impromptu, I just want to do this right now, Lord. We just receive the full measure of everything that you have for those in jail unjustly and their families, Lord, and David and the whole team and everybody else, Lord. We receive it right now, and we thank you for it, Lord Jesus, that you don't withhold any good thing from your children. So, Lord, we want to glorify and honor and praise you through this, and we thank you that you are a righteous judge, and you are not silent forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you for that. All the J6ers appreciate everything, every story, every time, every mention, because, you know, they've lived in the dark for 2.5 years and not a lot of love toward them. So let's just remember them, like I said, in our prayers, and if we can help them out any other way, just be proactive, not reactive. That's my biggest thing.
Absolutely. And hey, I want to send you this Wooten 2 memo. And the reason I want to do that is because there's such similarities. And this goes back decades, you know, the fight in the West with the ranchers. You know, the allegations from Larry Wooten that there was a kill book, that the guy was, the special agent in charge was laughing about the people that they had driven to suicide. So this is years before J6. So there's some similarities in there that might be useful to cue you on maybe even where to look or maybe what to think about. So I want to send that over to you. And I just, I want to speak. Yeah, absolutely. I want to speak a message of hope that evil is always exposed in the end. And they just got to hold firm. We just got to hold firm. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep exposing. Keep doing this. And ultimately, God is our vindicator, and it will happen. It will happen.
Amen. Claimed. Amen, brother. I'll take that all the way to the bank because that's the way it works. We've seen it time and time again. Listen, I tell people all the time, we're living in the middle of a miracle right now. This is what a miracle looks like from the inside. So pay attention as you go. Because the end is coming. We don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know where, but it's coming, and you need to be witness to what's happening today so you can talk about it when it comes to fruition tomorrow.
And we get to be alive in this time, brother. I love that too.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you again so much for having me on here tonight, and I look forward to doing it again real soon. We got another movie coming out soon, so it's going to be another explosive timeline video that I think you'll really appreciate. It'll really break down, you know, 2.5 years worth of collecting makes for a really nice film. So we're going to do our best and try to get the truth out one more time.
Make sure you tag us and we'll get it out. We'll actually do a filming or showing, excuse me, as we've done here at the church before. So God bless you, David. Thank you for everything you're doing. Keep up the fight.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
All right. David Summerall, stophate.com, stophate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Absolutely amazing what he has been through and what he has exposed. I mean, he has been literally the tip of the spear on this issue with J6 and shown that this narrative that the mainstream media and the Biden administration were putting out there was false, is false, and there is more and more evidence every single day. So help us spread the word. Go to stophate.com. And again, he gave some action items. Check it out there and be a part of the solution. All right. We're going to end the show today with one more play of that video on July 28th, Sean Foyt, Kingdom of the Capital, coming to Olympia, Washington. We're going right to the heart of darkness. We're bringing the light of God there. Join us. September 28th, 6 p.m. It's a Friday. Take off work. Show up down there. Doesn't matter if you're on the east side of the state or the west side of the state. We are all uniting under one banner, the banner of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and roll it.
This is a call.
The blood of Jesus is announced for the sins of the nation, for the darkness of the nation, for the way that our nation's turned its back on God.
To every denomination and every believer.
We bring lettuce worship to every single state capital across America.
To gather together by the thousands to pray and worship.
Join with us as we journey to see the fires of revival burn in every single U.S. Capital.
All God's people gathered together under one banner.
Kingdom to the Capital, July 28th, 6 p.m. Join us. Look forward to seeing all of you there. Also, coming up this Friday, right here at On Fire Ministries, July 21st, we have Spokane Praise and Prayer Revival here from 12 to 12. So 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. You want to be part of worship and prayer and pray for our city and pray for just the massive harvest that's out there, that there would be more laborers than we could even fathom coming into the field. As our Lord and Savior commanded us to pray, please show up this Friday, 12 to 12, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here at On Fire Ministries. Also coming up August 11th through the 13th, Chris Overstreet going to be here. We're going to be doing citywide evangelism, and then we're going to be doing a worship night on the 12th right here at On Fire Ministries in the parking lot. Everybody, tell your neighbors and your friends. We're going to be sending out these evangelism teams. It's going to be an absolute blast. But also, we get to evangelize the entire city for Jesus Christ. And last but not least, on August 20th, downtown at the Pavilion, Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship is going to be here, 6 p.m. Look forward to seeing you all there. I think we had 6,000 there last time. Tell everybody you know, this is going to change Spokane, Washington forever. I want to leave you with one last bit of encouragement. It doesn't matter how much farmland Bill Gates buys up. It doesn't matter how many obstacles the enemy tries to put in the way. We are seated at the right hand with Jesus Christ. It says it. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. We're seated with him in the heavenlies, Ephesians. That means that everything is under Jesus' feet, is under our feet, including every obstacle, every plan, every scheme of the enemy. We are victorious. We are triumphant. We are conquering. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. And he is making this generation the greatest one. The awakening is here. Keep up the fight.